Praise Jesus.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's good to see the group that's here right now because, see, I was back there praying. And it was funny, you know, I pray different things sometimes, and sometimes I don't pray the right things. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that, am I? Oh, well, praise God. Anyway, sometimes I don't always pray the right things, and I'm praying back there, Lord, you know, really would be nice if you opened the doors and just let the people in. You know, let's just hee-haw, let's have a fun time, just let the people in. And, you know, I got to thinking about it, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And it was like he said, you know, you didn't have to tell me that. I already knew you're sorry. But Lord, I apologize because, you know, I know. You know how you know a thing? Yeah, sometimes you just know a thing. You don't have to be told, you know. But we forget. You know? And he just showed me, he says, I'll have there exactly who I want there.
Amen.
You had your turn. You'll get your turn again. It's my turn. You love God, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But, you know, he reminded me this is his tabernacle.
Amen.
It's not my tabernacle. It's not your tabernacle. It's his tabernacle. He will do with it what he wants.
Amen.
He will have here who he wants. And, you know, in spite of me, he will get the message out here that he wants.
Amen.
Years and years and years and years ago, the Lord showed me that I'm not to sit back there and prepare a message to come out here and give to you. Any messages that he gives me are for me. I'm to be like this microphone. This microphone sits here on this stand and waits for me to come and grab it. And I pick up the mic and I speak into the mic and the mic shoots its little thing through the electronics, goes through the ear to that little antenna, goes through the box into that other box, which goes into another box and comes out that box. Let's all praise the microphone. No?
No.
You don't want to praise the microphone? You want to praise the microphone? Of course not. That's idolatry, right?
Amen.
How about the speaker? Shall we praise the speaker? No. How about God?
Amen.
Amen. And you know, the same goes for preachers. Preachers aren't to be praised. You know, I have said this every night, and I'm going to continue to say it. There is a well-kept secret, and it's only allowed to be told in this tent. When you go outside, don't tell anybody. Preachers are sinners, too.
Amen.
Yes, they are. And if they don't believe it, they don't know God. Amen.
Amen.
Because God says there's only one righteous. And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, we've had some neat things happening this week. We've had some neat things. And I have been praying, and the Lord showed me that I can tell you all a little thing tonight. We're going to learn the secret to walking in Joshua land. The church has been blind to it. It's right here in the Word. It's always been in the Word. And I've preached about it and preached around it. But I'm going to hit it on the nail tonight. I'm going to hit it directly tonight, so that there'll be no excuse in anybody not understanding it. Everybody wants what God wants for them, right?
Amen.
Everybody wants the blessings of God. And you can have the blessings of God if you're willing to obey God. Now, years ago, the Lord gave me a thing, and he told me to tell it this way. There is coming a time in the church where God is going to raise up Joshuas. Now, some of this terminology is my own, because I'm not as smart as God, and I don't know how to understand some things as well as God does. So I come up with some things so it helps me understand. And what God is trying to show me is that we have been living in an age of Moses. I call it the Mosaical Age. And if you stop and think about this age, it's very simple. You see a minister over here, God will raise him up. And that minister has power and he has authority in the Lord. And all the people run to that minister. And then, because the people run to the minister, God has to take that minister down and raise up another. If you stop and think, all the great revivalists, except maybe one or two, fell in their ministry. And God had to allow that happen because the people were looking to the minister. Did anybody understand what I'm saying here? And so there'd be one or two out here, and they would have the power, and everybody else would run to see them. But we are coming to the time when God is raising up many ministers.
Amen.
Many ministers. Little people, like you and like me. Round people. Stick people. Long people. Weird people. Even, I don't know what to call that people. He's raising up women.
Amen.
They're going to prophesy. They're going to heal the sick. They're going to raise the dead.
Amen.
They're going to do the things of God because they're going to learn something. They're going to learn the secret, the walking in God's anointing and His power. And it is so simple, so simple, that some of you, when you hear it, you're going to do this. But it is also so simple that there will be some that when they hear it, whether it's on the tape, the video, or out here in another revival, they're going to get mad. You're going to get angry. And they're not going to want to hear it. Now, the other night we spoke out of Exodus a little bit. And how God told Moses when he went into Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go, for Israel is my
son.
My
firstborn.
All right. The Israel that came out of Egypt was God's firstborn. How many people know that God has never changed? You know that? He's never changed. He just uses different situations to keep showing the same thing over and over.
Amen.
You know why? Because we're stupid.
Amen.
Really, we're stupid. We don't like to think we're stupid. We like to think we're intelligent and we're smart and all these other things. But if we were so intelligent and smart, why don't we get it? Because we're stupid. Israel that came out of Egypt was a type and shadow of Adam.
Yeah.
Now, God made Adam. Listen to this. God did not create Adam. He made him. The Bible does not say He created him. Says He made him. Now somebody might think, well, over in Genesis chapter 1, it says God created man. Yes, it did. It really did. God created man. And if you go back and read about those men that He created, they could eat of every tree. There was nothing they couldn't eat. But Adam, he forbid one tree.
Amen.
How many people ever saw that before? In Genesis 1, the people could eat of every tree. But in Genesis chapter 2, Adam could eat of all but one. And that was the tree of knowledge between good and evil. Amen? Now watch this, because it's very simple. As long as Adam did not eat of the tree of knowledge, what was it God said? Of all the trees in the midst of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But in the day that thou eatest of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, thou shalt most surely die. Amen? So all Adam had to do was what?
Obey.
Oh, that's that one word we love so much. Women love it in the marriage ceremony. Obey. We love it so much, down in Maryland, we invented a spice. Oh, no, that's Old Bay. Praise you, Lord. If Adam had obeyed God and not eaten of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, there would have been no sin and no death. Amen? Now, I want to show you a thing. After Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, they found themselves naked. And grabbed a fig leaf to cover themselves up. You know that's what we do with religion? Did you know that religion is a fig leaf? That's all it is. But true Christianity, true relationship with Jesus Christ, is the garment of God. God says, no, I don't want you to have that. I want something better for you. Just like he took the fig leaves away from Adam and Eve and clothed them in skins. What was it he said to the Jews in the desert? He said, or the Jews in Israel, he said, I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want all that sacrifices. What did he want? Obedience. Obedience. Do you know it says that Adam and Eve heard the voice of God walking through the midst of the garden in the cool of the day? That's Jesus. They didn't hear God, they heard the voice of God. The voice of God is Jesus. The Word of God is Jesus. John the Revelator turned to see the voice that spake. Now, can you see my voice? Of course not. You can't see my voice. So, the voice there is the same as the Word here. He turned to see the voice that spake. Adam and Eve hid from the voice that walked. Amen? And then watch this. God, Jesus, is in the garden. He's looking around. Now, did you ever wonder about that? Adam, where are you? Well, you know, I remember one time I heard a preacher preach on this kind of stuff, and I said, gee, you know, there's something wrong with this. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong with it. Was God blind? Did he forget to put his glasses on that day? God, the Word says that God sees everything. Well, why didn't he see Adam? I'm going to tell you what the Lord showed me. You may accept this, you may not. What's it to me? I'm not pretty, and if you accept it, it isn't going to make me any prettier. And if you reject it, it's not going to make me prettier either. So it really doesn't matter to me. It may matter to you. God walked in that garden, and he saw two strangers. He didn't know who they were. And he called out to Adam to find out, who are these strangers in the garden? That's what happened. Adam, where are you? And if they had finished it off, we got a couple strangers here. What are they doing here? God could not recognize Adam and Eve because when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, in other words, they disobeyed God, the clothing of righteousness that God had clothed them in was taken away. And they became strangers. Do you see what I'm saying? Anybody understand this? All right. Now, we have been studying faith. We've been studying faith. And we've been studying perfect faith. That perfect faith to trust and believe God so that you can walk as God would want you to walk. We've already laid the foundation. We've already laid the groundwork. God wants you to share in Him. He wants you to share in Him. He wants you to receive His anointing. He wants you to receive His Spirit. He wants you to receive His grace. He wants you to receive His power. He wants you to receive His gifts. This is God's will for you. But how can He give them to you if He doesn't know you? Got quiet, except for the airplane. All right, I want to read something to you. Matthew. Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, verse 2, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Simple statement, isn't it? The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they did you, observe. Now, we in our intelligence, we read that and we say, well, what that really means, you know, whatever they tell us to do, as long as we agree with it and think it's of God's word, we're going to do it. That's the Amplified version, according to some people. But it doesn't say that. It really doesn't say that. What it says is, all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Can't get any simpler than that. God said, you do it. Now watch the next part here. But do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. See, what is God showing us here? He's showing a principle of the line of authority. The Old Testament church wasn't over with yet. Jesus wasn't crucified yet. That age did not come to an end until 70 AD with the destruction of the temple. And He was telling them, everything they tell you to do, because they sit in Moses' seat, you do it. But just don't be like them. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, got to be something else good here. But all their works, am I missing something here? Okay. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. Sounds like the Pentecostal church I used to belong to. Except Jesus Christ, man, he loves you and he wants you to come in. Okay, now that you're in, now you've got to do all this stuff. And lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. And they make broad their phylacteries, is that what that says? And enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost. It goes on and on and on. In other words, they do everything for show. Now, how many remember the book of Joshua? Starts off in the book of Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's talking to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, take all these people and go out and take them to the land that I swore to give them. And then he says a neat thing. In the exact same way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua.
Amen.
In the same way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Wherever you step on your foot, I'm going to give it to you. Wherever the sole of your foot lands, it's yours.
Amen.
And I will be with you just like I was with Moses. And then he said an interesting thing. Only be strong and of a good courage. Do you know why you have to be strong and of a good courage? Because sometimes God wants you to say things that you know people don't want to hear. You know they're not going to want to hear it. And if you say it, you know they're not going to like you. Who in here doesn't want to be liked? Everybody wants to be liked. Part of our nature. I don't want people to dislike me. But I want God to love me.
Amen.
And I prefer God's love to anything that anybody can offer me. Because what you offer me is nothing compared to what God offers me. So God told Joshua three times, be strong and of a good courage. Strong and of very courageous. So that Joshua could do the things that God told him to do. Now, when it came time for the people to respond, it's very interesting. They told Joshua, wheresoever you command us to go, we'll go. Even as we obeyed Moses in all things, we will obey you. Only be strong and of a good courage, and God be with you. Now, see, this is a contract. I want you to look at the contract here. This is a contract between God and Joshua and God and the people. And the people and Joshua. It's a very simple contract. God is promising Joshua to always be with him. But Joshua always has to obey. Very simple. All right? We carry it on next step. The people promised Joshua to obey, but we expect him to what? Be strong and of a good courage. Now, look at the mindset in the church. There's a little mindset in the church that isn't just right today. The mindset in the church is, I will obey the pastor as long as I know God is with him. As long as I know God's with the minister in that church, I'll obey him. But if I disagree with him, I'm not going to do what he tells me. Is that not the mindset in the church? Yes or no? See, all of a sudden we become the judges. That's not what we read in Matthew, and it's surely not what he shows in Joshua. Because, see, God knows, and Joshua knows, and I happen to know, that Joshua had absolutely nothing to do with God being with him.
Amen.
That was God's choice.
Amen.
That wasn't Joshua's choice. It was God's choice.
Amen.
Paul, a murderer, a blasphemer, capturing Christians and putting them in dungeons and having them killed, was chosen by God not because he was a murderer or a blasphemer. I don't even know why God chose him. I'll find out one day. But we know he did.
Amen.
The Jews didn't like it. In fact, the Christians didn't like it for a long time. But God chose him. Didn't need anybody else's permission. Didn't need anybody's acceptance. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ appeared to him on the way to Damascus and said, I have chosen you.
Amen.
And from that moment on, Paul carried the anointing of Jesus Christ, whether anybody else accepted it, believed it, or not. But those who accepted it and those that believed it and trusted in God, they went on to greatness in Jesus Christ. And those who did not faded into oblivion. Why? It's because they understood the anointing. You know, people run around out here today, these preachers run around out here today and say, I have an anointing of God. I have an anointing. God's given me anointing. The truth of the matter is, there's only one anointing. And that anointing is given to seven churches. So you could say there's seven anointings. And every preacher that's out there is a partaker of one of those.
Amen.
I don't have an anointing. I'm a partaker of an anointing. See? If I have an anointing, then the originator is me. But Jesus is the anointed one.
Amen.
I partake. It's not mine, it's his. You see? All right. So, the secret was very simple. God promised Joshua that he would be with him. And because the people learned to obey God, they said they would obey the one that God appointed. But they required God to be with Joshua. Say, okay, Lord, you're going to put him over me. That's fine, but I'm going to hold you to him. He messes up and gets me in trouble. It's your fault. And then they turn to Joshua and say, but you, Joshua, be strong and of good courage.
Amen.
You know, I was in prayer one night and the Lord showed me a thing. You can take any church. Doesn't matter what church it is. Any church. It'd be a Baptist church, a Methodist church, Pentecostal church. Any church out there. And if I could get a hold of the people in that church for 2 weeks without the pastor knowing it, and he could be the worst pastor in the world, he could be a drunken alcoholic, it would make no difference. If I could get a hold of those people for 2 weeks and teach them this principle, that they would go back into that church and serve God. Serve God. And not serve the pastor, but God in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And obey that pastor. Do you know what God would have to do? He would either have to change that pastor or kill him. One or the other. He'd have to change him or take him out. because God will not suffer His people to bad leadership when they're walking in obedience to Him.
Amen.
Same thing goes with the government. We have in government today exactly what we deserve. Exactly what we deserve. God says He wants an obedient people. But what does He have? He has anarchists in church. What is an anarchist? It's somebody that wants to do his own thing and wants nobody else to tell him what to do. God says in His Word, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. If you're going to be stubborn with God, go out and get you an idol. What's the difference? Well, I don't think it's the same, preacher. It doesn't matter what you think. It really doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. What it matters is, what does God say?
Amen.
Now, the children of Israel that came through the desert, the first son, the one I talked about earlier, the first son, when Moses said, let my children go, let my people go, for Israel is my son, my firstborn. They didn't make it in. Why? They were disobedient. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. It says, in Hebrews chapter 4, starting verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to fall short of it. Amen? Any of you should seem to fall short of it. And then He goes on to say, for the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us, but the word profited them nothing, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The Word of God is food. Remember Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God?
Amen.
The Word of God is food. If you don't digest the Word of God, it will kill you. This Word will kill you. Somebody might say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, take a steak. I love steak. Anybody in here like steak? I like pig too. But I love a good porterhouse steak. I love a good porter. Put that thing on the grill and cook it up. Mmm. I like that. But now what do? When I eat that steak, I chop it up, you know, and put it in my mouth, chew it up. My saliva mixes with it. It goes into my stomach. My digestive juices start mixing with it. It breaks it down, and then it goes elsewhere, and I ain't getting any further than that. But the bottom line is, it becomes food, and it gives me life.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's take that same steak and see what happens if I swallow it whole. The digestive juices do not mix with it, and it just sits in my stomach. What's going to happen?
Kill you.
And it's going to putrefy. It's going to rot. It's going to kill you. A perfectly good steak will kill you because you won't digest it. And Paul is telling them, fear lest God's promise you don't get. What's His promise? To enter into His rest. What does it mean to enter into His rest? To walk in His anointing. To walk in God's works and in His anointing. Because it says, when you've entered into God's rest, you've ceased from yours. People said to me one time, they said to me years ago, Richard, how do you pray for people and believe God that they're healed? I said, it's simple. I know they already were. See, if it was my work, then people could praise me. But it's not my work. But when I pray for the sick and they're healed, it's because they were already healed. When Jesus died on the cross. It says, with His stripes we were healed, does it not? He's either telling the truth or He's telling a lie. You got to get simple. You got to be very, very simple. Either God is truthful or God is a liar. He said He healed you. Okay. I accept that, Lord. And then I thank Him till I see the manifestation of it. God's healed me of many things. He's healed me of many things. Things that He really probably shouldn't have. I've been blind. I've had retinas blown out of my head that didn't work anymore. Doctors said I'd never ever see again. You want to know what's hard? Try going into a church, have them lead you up to the pulpit. You can't even read the Bible, can't see it at all. Try to preach to people about the love of God, the power of God, and pray for blind people to be healed and watch God heal them, and you're walking out being led out blind. Did that happen to me? And I would stand behind this very pulpit right here, and I would pray. I had a young man come to the meeting one night. He was 21, 22 years old, and he was blind from birth. He said, "Sir, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus Christ, and I sure as blankety blank don't believe in you." I said, "Man, you're going to be easy. You're going to be easy." "What do you mean?" I said, "You just confessed you're not a believer, so I don't have to depend on your faith at all. It's my faith." In fact, I said, "I'm going to show you how easy it is. Ricky Baldwin, pray for him." Didn't I? And he was healed. He was healed and couldn't believe it. And you know what? He still didn't accept Jesus Christ. Still didn't accept Jesus Christ. I've had people brought in chairs with multiple dystrophy. Remember that guy? Brought him in. God raised him up and healed him, delivered him, and went back to his Jehovah Witness and said, "I won't accept it." Can you imagine such a thing? I've had people say, "Oh, preacher, if they could just see the miracles." Remember, those people that crucified Jesus saw the miracles.
Amen.
See, it's a heart condition. Crossing the River Jordan is deciding to believe God and obey Him. Now, he says over there in Hebrews 4 about fear, and then he goes on down a little further and says, "Let us therefore for labor to enter into that rest, lest any of you seem to fall after the same example of unbelief." Do you know it's not easy obeying somebody? Mm-hmm. Wives know that, don't you? Especially some of us guys. Now, my wife will tell you I'm very easy to follow. Say, "Preacher, you're not supposed to lie." I'm not. I'm kidding. Yes, I'm lying. I'm one of the hardest people in the world to follow. Isn't that right, Ricky?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
It's rather simple.
That's right. What's the secret to following me?
Do absolutely everything you say and don't change a thing.
That's right. I'm so easy to get along with. Did you know that? Now, you've met me, Dave. Aren't I a nice guy? I'm a nice guy, aren't I? Easy to get along with. All you do is what I say, and that's no problem. Isn't that right, John? Now, I had John show a thing here the other night. That was last night? Was that night? I had John show a thing last night. And, you know, if I actually did this in most churches, they'd look at him and look at me and say, "That guy's got to be crazy. He's got that guy totally brainwashed." But I was sitting around talking to some people, and I wanted to show the principle of Joshua. So John was over doing some work around there, doing his thing. And I said, "John, come here a minute." He dropped everything, came right over. I said, "John, you see that basketball net out there? I want you to go stand under that thing for me." And he, "Yes, sir." And he stood there. And I turned back and started talking to the people. And he stood there. And I told him, I said, "You know how long you stay there?" They said, no, till I told him to leave. Now, you go out here to these churches out here and say, oh, that's mind control. But you know what? He doesn't talk much. But when he does, he's got something to say.
Amen.
He's got something to say. People have asked me, how come you know these things? The Lord put me under a minister, one of the hardest ministers you'd ever want to sit under. They think I'm hard. I'd love to give these guys to that guy for a week. I don't think any of them could take him. I don't think any of them could. I remember the first time out there, they all go out and eat and leave me with a tent, and they come back. They're all fed and happy, and where's mine? Do I look like God? And walks right off. But I learned a thing through this man. He would have me, the Lord impressed upon me to do whatever he said. So I would go and come up, and if he said, Richard, stand there, I stood there, and I didn't move until he said move. And if he had forgotten that I was there and he walked out of the church, I'm going to tell you honestly, if he'd walked out of the church and left me there, when he came back the next night, I'd still be there. I might be doing this number, but I'd still be there. Because God showed me a thing. He said, if you want the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ, then you need to learn obedience.
Amen.
And it wasn't H. Richard Hall that I trusted. It was Jesus. Now look, perfect faith is made by what? Perfect obedience. So therefore, what makes unbelief? Disobedience. See? So you cannot have, it is totally impossible for you to have perfect faith as long as you have obedience. I mean disobedience. Thank you. As long as you have disobedience, you cannot have perfect faith. So I could take a congregation and teach them these principles. They could go into a church and they could practice it and watch their preacher grow. Because they wouldn't be following the preacher, they'd be trusting and following God.
Amen.
Now you see, let me show you the difference between the truth and a cult. Because you get into this stuff and you start practicing this stuff, you're going to be called a cult. I'm going to tell you that right now. But the difference between the truth and a cult is that in a cult, the focus is on the man. In the true church of God, in the true church of Jesus Christ, the focus is on Jesus.
Amen.
It's not the man. You see, God has never changed. The same in the Garden of Eden. It was same in the desert. It was same all the way out. So all of that first son, remember the first son that we talked about earlier, that died in the desert, he didn't make it in. Didn't make it into Joshua land. Why? Because he was rebellious. He refused to hear God. But Joshua and Caleb and the second son made it in. Now, I said a lot to get back to this one point. I said earlier that God is, it's simple and God never changes. See this flesh? That's Adam. It's not going to make it.
Amen.
It is not going to make it. Jesus Christ did not die for this flesh. He died for my soul and my spirit. He's got another one for me. Another body. A perfect body. And that one is going to heaven. But in the meantime, we are to walk in the kingdom of God now. Now.
Amen.
By His power, by His Spirit, by His grace, by His love, He wants you blessed. And there's all these people running around out here today saying, God is punishing this one, God is punishing... No, God doesn't punish people here. He's got a place to punish people. And you don't want to go there.
Amen.
Because that, you don't get out of that place. That's not a get out of jail card there. You go, once that door closes on you in that punishment center, you don't ever come out. Now, as children, God may chastise you, but He doesn't punish. He doesn't put sickness on you. He doesn't put disease on you. He doesn't put these things on you. The God of this world puts them on you.
Amen.
And how can you be salty if you can't do anything about it? Didn't I